Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah declaring the world.
Praise the Lord. So have you guys broken every spiritual bondage that is holding you back? Are you now free? Can you say conclusively that now there is nothing that is holding me back now in the spirit? Now I am free to fly like an eagle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you say that, or you're still in the process of? By the way, you could still be in the process of. Sometimes it might not be a one day's thing. It can be continuous. But then I also want to show you something that it mustn't be just for you. You can do it for all your family. And you can extend your family to as extended as you want it to be. Praise the Lord. As long as there is any blood relation or any covenant relation through marriage, you can extend that to them. Here is how it works. Those covenants which were holding you back, if they were, you were not there when they were made. And nobody consulted you about them. But somehow they affect you. Praise the Lord. But you are not there. Nobody consulted you. Some man went there, maybe your judge or somebody went and made a covenant. And because you're from that bloodline, it affects you. And nobody consulted you. They didn't need your opinion. Now, in much the same way, you can go and make a covenant with God to affect them without their knowledge or without their approval. Amen? And now theirs, they cannot break it, because we break theirs because we have a superior power. Praise the Lord. But now theirs, they cannot break it. I'll give you an example. I have a brother of mine who got born again. He was the first person in our family to get born again. And he went and read a book about hell. And then he proclaimed that nobody, none of my siblings of my family, will go to this place called hell. Now, he didn't consult anybody. But I'll tell you this. I had a brother of mine who passed on. I have never seen somebody more hard-hearted than him. Like, you know this person whom you look at, and you think, even if you preach to him 1,000 years, he's not going to receive the Lord. Very hard-hearted. His favorite story was how Jimmy Swaggart was caught, you know, with prostitutes. He says, all of you, that's how you are. Eh? Now you see even the other man. And that was like the story of his life. Like, so he mocked everything to do with God. But the power of covenant, when he got sick, I saw him softening, until he finally accepted the Lord before he died. Now, that's the power of covenant. Now, he cannot break it because the covenant is made with the Lord. Now, if the covenant is made among demons, you come here and break it because you have a superior power. Praise the Lord. Now, you are supposed to be a savior for all your family, not just you. So now, after you've taken yourself out of it, then now say, anybody from my bloodline, nobody will do witchcraft, nobody will do. You don't need their approval. They did not ask yours when they were putting you in their things. And that's how the spirit realm works. In Acts 16:31, it says, you remember that Philippian jailer with Paul? Paul tells him that, so they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Did he ask the household? No. He says, you believe and your household will be saved. Now, that's how it works in the spirit. Now, one person takes his foot there in the Lord. You can stand and say, you make any covenant you want for your bloodline, for anybody. That includes even those whom you are covenanted with in marriage. And say, now from here and now, nobody is going to do this within my family. Now, you can't do it for everybody unless there is a bloodline. Praise the Lord. Unless there is what? A bloodline. Now, there are things you have to understand in the spirit. There has to either be a relation or a relation through covenant, like marriage. Other than that, you have no power over them. I cannot say that Robert will never do it because I have no power over him. He's not my relative. You see, eh? But he can say that of everybody who has his bloodline. And he seals it. And it will be done. And they will somehow find the choices they make end up with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now that's how it works. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved. You and your household. But also what might work for somebody who is under your household. That's why some people, I tell them that if you want to see the blessings of God, first go and get your own house. That's why Joshua says, as for me and my house, we'll do what? Serve the Lord. Joshua chapter what? I think 24 verse 15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, if somebody is under your household, he gets a dose of what is there, whether he's your relative or not, as long as he's under your roof and you are the head of the house. He gets a dose of what is there, good or bad. Amen? I remember I was reading a story of Kenneth Hagin, and he said he hosted a preacher. You know, they would do those. He was a pastor, and he hosted a preacher to come and preach at his church. And the preacher was staying at his house. And the man had diabetes, so every day he would go and check his blood sugar and then inject himself. Then Kenneth Hagin said, as long as you are in my house here, your blood sugar is going to be normal and stable. You are not going to inject yourself. And he preached for 2 weeks and he did not need any injection in the 2 weeks. But as soon as he left, he went back to what? To injection. But now, as long as he was under the roof, that could apply. But if he's not there, you can't apply it to anybody. And say, now you are not going to. No, I don't have that, you know. So these are rules in the spirit. Now, that's why I'll tell some people, and some of you have told you before. You come, I'm struggling, what? I'm staying with my uncle. Get your own house. Get your own house. Otherwise, what is at your uncle's place is going to affect you, good or bad. That's what Jacob told Laban. At least go and get your house, and this is my house. Now let God start blessing you from there. Because you are in control even of your kazigo. Now you'll grow from there and grow and grow and grow. But you are under somebody's roof, you'll go and as long as you enter, what he does there is going to affect you. And I'm not saying naturally, like if they eat kalo, you'll eat kalo. No, I mean spiritually. Okay? I was saying, there's an example I was trying to bring. Jacob, when he was in the household of Laban, the scripture says that as soon as Joseph was born, Jacob went and told Laban, now it's time for me to go and look after my own household. Because previously it said in the scripture that the Lord blessed the household of Laban because of Jacob. Now, Laban was a beneficiary of the blessings of Jacob, which were the blessings of Isaac and the blessings of Abraham. Yet he was not a partaker of them, supposed to be. But as long as he kept Jacob here with him, he was a partaker of those blessings. So his flocks were increasing, his herds were increasing, he was becoming richer. That's why he didn't want Jacob to leave. And he even said it himself, that I have seen that since you came here, the Lord blessed me. But now Jacob says, no, I'm tired of using my blessings for you. Now, it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and children for whom I have reserved, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. There's somewhere where he says that, let me go and bless my, you know. But let's read this. And Laban said to him, please stay. You see, eh? Please stay if I have found favor in your sight, in your eyes. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. And that's why he did not want Jacob to go. Because imagine this man, Laban. He's not supposed to be part of the blessing of Abraham. But as long as he can get Jacob and keep him here, he becomes a beneficiary. And somehow, all the blessings of the obedience of Abraham and all the altars are all applying to him, yet he's a fluker. Until Jacob says, no, I have to go now to my own house. And as soon as he did that and created a distance, the scripture says he created a distance between his flock and the flock of Laban and made some distance. Then now God started blessing him. Then Laban realized that the blessing had gone away from him. So I'm just saying this to say this. You have authority over people of whom you have the same bloodline or the same covenant relationship through marriage, where it is covenanted, you see, or where somebody is dwelling in your house. Now, if you're dwelling in your father's house, if you're of age, you might have to one first step away from him and create your own blessing somewhere where it is separate, where you are the owner of that place. And now everything that you do or that you apply to you comes straight to yourself. Praise the Lord. So now you're going to enter covenant. You're going to enter covenant on behalf of your blood relatives. And they cannot break them, unlike you, for you broke them because you have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you make it with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would need a higher power to break it. And there is none. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you, these people, when they go, they actually, I'm telling you, you discover, like I've discovered, even from the last time I discovered things which I didn't, okay, not about myself, but about some relatives. And then you have this thing, then you see, this thing has been working in our bloodline. There are things which pursue bloodlines. Things like, let's say, suicide. I remember when we were just some time ago in Watchman, a guy came here and he said, I every day have to keep myself from committing suicide. And it was a spirit. Because you think there's anything, any reason, you know, there was none. But you see, when somebody goes to a devil, your grandfather went to a devil, he wants wealth, he wants what? Then he enters into a covenant. Then, bam! The next thing, your uncle committed suicide. This one committed suicide. And it runs in the family. And you wonder why people... One small thing, somebody, his girlfriend chucks him, a rope. He loses a job, a rope. And you know, like, and there are things like that. And by the way, let me tell you, all even sicknesses and all that, all of them, especially... Okay, all sicknesses are of the devil. But especially sicknesses like which have anything to do with mental health. I don't even like using that word, but you know, things like those. Or sicknesses. Now, like, what is sickle cells? The scientists will think they know it, but it's just a curse. It's just a curse. And somebody can break it. And it doesn't affect you and doesn't affect any of your bloodline. Of course, they include others. Like diabetes, like what? All those. And you can break it. And it does not affect any of your bloodline after you. And even break it in, you extend. By the way, you can extend that family as far as you want. As long as there is blood. The other one's father was my uncle, there is blood. This one is my what? Cousin's son, blood. Anywhere. As long as you share a relative, even if the relative is four generations ago, you can make a covenant. That will not happen. Let me tell you, the thing which made that brother of mine get born again, if it wasn't a covenant, nothing else would do it. I've never seen somebody so hard-hearted. When they told me he was born again, I said, man, what? Are you sure? Yes. I said, so you forgot about Jimmy Swaggart? You know, some of you don't remember the story of Jimmy Swaggart because you're a bit young, but you know, he was like the favorite of people like those. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to go and enter covenant for your family and say, none of my brothers or cousins is going to hell. I have refused it. All of them are going to heaven. I don't need to consult them. I've entered a covenant with the Lord today that all my relatives are going to heaven. None of them is going to go to hell. No matter what they do, they will end up receiving, like my brother, they will end up receiving the Lord before they die. And you don't understand what kind of person that man was. Eh? You honestly don't. You know, people will not even argue with you. You start preaching to him the gospel. He says, just leave me alone, man. Eh? Yeah, then he gets his what? Don't waste my time, man. Eh? You cheat your things. Like, even as, you know, there are people who argue. Those ones, you can, you know. But there are those who even, he has no time for you. You speak your things, and you just leave me alone. Then you, so I gave up on him, and I just said, those are yours. But the covenant came for him. Praise the Lord. Anyway. Now, let me tell you a story. This is something else now I'm going into. That was just, you know. But make sure there is nothing that is holding you back in the spirit. But even after you've dealt with everything that holds people back in the spirit, and there is a lot of things that hold people back in the soul, which are also so important. You know, there was a gentleman who said he went to visit a man who had an elephant park, some kind of elephant sanctuary. Then he found when there was this big, huge elephant, and the man would tie the elephant with a rope and tie it to a tree with a simple size of rope. And the elephant would spend the whole, you know, it would just be there until he opens it. So the man was wondering, can't this elephant know that it can just break this rope and walk away? But somehow it was bound by the rope. Then he asked the man, you mean this elephant can't see that this rope is not, it doesn't have the power to contain it? Then the man said, no, I've been tying it to that tree since it was a baby. And when it was a baby, that rope could confine it. So it tried to move and discovered the rope could confine it. So even now when it grows and the rope can no longer confine it, in its mind it thinks the rope can confine it. So it stays there. Now, it stays there because it has not tried out something new. It has not tried to step out of the ordinary. Now, every word that is spoken to people here is useless unless you're ready to go and take some risk. Step out of what you're used to. Now, if that elephant just pulled its leg like this, it could even bring down the tree, much less the rope. It would, before even, it can even just pull down the tree. But because it has an experience, let me tell you, when you've been hammered by circumstances for a very long time and they shrink your soul, I have seen things like that. And somebody's soul is so shrunken that they have been through a lot of hard times that you can talk all the wonderful things that you want, but they look at you and like you, it seems like you're speaking fairy tales. And yet they are like the elephant. If they stepped out, there are things which are out there. But they don't. Because they tried before and it failed, everything failed. And now, so you find somebody who, let's say, has spent, and I know people who are like that, and I've been in churches where somebody has spent like 10 years earning a salary of 800K. 10 years. Now, when you increase their salary to 1.5 million, in their minds, they are prosperous. And they even start behaving what? Prosperous. Now you start trying to sell to them big things, and they say, what are you talking about? After 10 years, I moved from 800K to 1.5. Who knows, in the next 10 years, I might move to 2.5. Like, and their mind has been squeezed. Now that's the purpose of words, is to actually challenge your mind to do something. You know, Jesus spoke about this generation. He said, this generation who you play for them, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words he used. You pray for them, play for them nice songs, they don't dance. You play for them songs of mourning, they don't weep. Then says, what moves them? And now that is actually, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions. Okay? And saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned for you and you did not lament. So, you cannot move. You are stuck, like your soul has been squeezed to a place where you're so stagnant that even beautiful words at most will make you just fantasize. But when it comes to taking one step, you will not. Because in your mind, there is safety. And now sometimes, some people like that, you have to show them a picture in front. I was telling somebody who came and, you know, I want a job and this and what. But then, you know, he's working somewhere, waiting tables. So I tell him that you're young, you're 25. Maybe waiting tables is not the worst thing. Now in his mind, the tips he gets, you'll even come and tell you know, people like me, they give me tips and what. And life is good at 25. So I tell him, so are you going to be waiting tables when you're 40? Remember at 40, you'll have a wife, you'll have children. Will those tips be enough? Then suddenly, something flashes in him. Because it's so easy when, now you think that you don't know where he came from to wait tables. And you don't know why he thinks that those tips are a lot of money. Because you've not seen his past. But so you have to show him ahead. That's why the psalmist says, teach me to number my days that I may gain wisdom. Okay? Very important. Teach me to number my days. Psalms 90. that I may gain wisdom. Because if you don't start thinking, okay, what I'm doing now, what am I going to do 10 years from now? If I'm comfortable where I am, will I be comfortable where I am 10 years from now? Because 10 years will come and go. And if you have not thought about it, then it is. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So now I taught him how to number his days. So okay, how are you 25? Good for you. You're getting tips. Good for you. I'm also going to give you a tip here. Good for you. Now 10 years from now, what about 15 years from now when you're 40? You still be waiting tables? Now, when people start thinking like that, because those years, when you're 20, and somebody tells you when you're 35, it sounds like so far away. That's why these musicians go and enter covenants with the devil. And he enters a covenant to be a superstar. And he tells him that you will be a superstar, but you'll die at 40. And the guy is 18. And 40 sounds like so far away. He says, it's okay, Castor, those years I will be a superstar. Then the next thing is 39. Then he starts running to church to break the covenant. I know one of them who died recently. Now, unfortunately, not recently, but some years ago, unfortunately, he came to a fellowship and he was there scared because you know that your time has come. And you man, the devil is... And yet, by the way, here is the thing. If they came and somebody like broke them away from that, the devil has no control over them. They would have played him. You understand? They would have played him. Now the guy came to the fellowship grounds and now he sat behind there and then called the lady. First come. Now the lady thought Bambi, he wanted to what? Other things. Kumbe the man wanted to ask, how do I receive the Lord? So she says, man, she walked. Anasha. So she walked and so the guy said, come what? Ignored him. 3 days later, he was killed in a bar. And now my point is, they don't know how to number their days. You're 18 and 40 sounds very far. It is not. Okay, it's 22 years, but those years come and go. Now, people enter that. I remember even Michael Jackson, he would keep on saying, I'm going to die at the age of 40. I'm going to die at the age of 40. But somehow, his did not work like that because... I think I know why, because he did not willingly enter that line. It is his father who took him there when he was at the age of 5. So somehow God gives you grace because you did not choose. But when you're a mature person and you choose, and they go and tell you you'll be a superstar, but at this age you're going to die, then you say, okay, I accept. Then you enter into a covenant. Oh, that time will come very fast. Very, very fast, by the way. And now I'll tell you this. Sometimes even those covenants happen in your dreams. I think I've told you this before. It happens in your dream. Not all the time are you going to go and meet him. You enter in your dream. You go and meet him. I've met him a number of times without seeing him. But he's talking to me. I'm talking about the devil. He's talking to me. There was a time I was sick. And I was in the hospital bed. And I was hearing him, and we were even actually having a conversation. He told me, why don't you just give up? Just give up, in a short time, you'll be on the streets of heaven, in your mansion, what? Because you see, I want you to know that anybody who has the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot die unless you've accepted. You have to accept to die. It's a decision you make. If you refuse, you cannot. I'm telling you. And even if a trader runs over you, if you refuse, you will not die. Because how did you become alive? God made your body and then he breathed in his spirit. He made you out of and breathed in his spirit. And then you became alive. So now, the body is not what dictates whether you're alive or dead. The body was just made out of clay. So now, he was convincing me, give up, chill these things. Can you imagine? You just have to get... And by the way, I was really, really, I was not well. I was not well at all. I was in pain and what. If I had just said, man, I'm tired. Sure. But I listened to him. Then I said, I am joking. I'm still in town. I still have work to do. And by the way, as soon as I said that, I started healing. My body started healing. And it's not the only time he has come and spoken to me when I'm not even seeing him. I've told you there was a time when I'd I was staying here in Zambia, not far away from here. So one day I'd finished praying. And you know those days where you really, I came in the evening, I really, really enjoyed my prayer. So I prayed up to around 3 in the morning. And that day, wonderful things happened. I remember the clouds gathered, it was going to rain. And the clouds, it was all over, and there was even lightning and what. So as I was praying, I thought about, I would sit outside in the compound and pray. I would put a chair there and pray. So I thought about, let me go and finish my prayer from inside. Then the Lord spoke to me and told me that rain won't fall until you're through praying. So I said, okay. So I stayed there. So it stayed on threatening. Not a single drop. Then at around 3 or thereabout, I got tired. And I said, let me go and sleep. As soon as I stepped in the house, the downpour came. Now, those are small things which God tells you just to establish a relationship. So that you understand. So my point, so when I went inside, I'd just entered the bed and I wasn't asleep. So I just entered like this. I just closed my eyes. I was very, very wide awake, but my eyes were closed. Then I heard him speaking. Only this time I thought it was God, but it was the devil. But the thing about him, he always reveals himself very fast. So I hear a voice, an audible voice, and he told me that, what can I do for you? What would you really, really want me to do for you? So I was there, am I thinking it's God? So I tell him, you know, Lord, I just really want to know how to please you. Then I hear silence. The next minute, the guy jumped on my throat. he was saying, you traitor, wait. He jumped on my throat and squeezed me like this. Now, of course, by that time, I said, Ekumbe, all along it was you. So I just told him to get lost. I want to sleep. I don't know, for some reason, he used to visit me a lot of those days. Somehow I've taken long without seeing him these days. He used to visit. There's a time I came from the bathroom. I walked out of the bathroom and I was going to the bedroom. And as soon as I saw him sitting on the bed, on my bed, sitting, I looked at him, he looked at me. Now, thankfully, by that time I'd grown a bit in the spirit. So I just ignored him and went and wiped my body properly and put on my nighties. Then I told him, man, get lost, I want to sleep. Like, get off my bed, just like that. Get off my bed, I want to sleep. I'm telling you, I saw him. You know when you enter and you quake under somebody? Now, but these days I don't know if he doesn't like me. Well, how did he even get there? What was I talking about? Okay, so this is what I'm saying. The process of delivering your soul out of small thinking is not as easy as delivering yourself from spiritual. Because spiritual, you say in the name of Jesus, what, and it goes. Now, your mind, renewing your mind and getting your mind to think bigger things than survival, that is going to require a lot of effort from you. And it's going to go step by step. And you have to know how the Lord works things. Okay? Step out of this place. Step out of this place. And the place he's telling you to step out from is a place where there is convenience, where you're conveniently situated. And you have to break your convenience. I know where my, you know, because when I was there, I was a Muhuru. So I knew where I take my clothes for washing. I knew where the Kaduka, where they give me some credit. When I don't, you know, like you've created a life there. And now God says, if you are going to develop from there, you have to step away from this place. And you're saying, but now I'm going to a new place. Here I know. I know my neighbors. I know this. I know, you know, like everything is, you've worked your way into that. Now you have to understand, that's what he tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 3. He says that you've gone around this mountain too long. Now break camp, break forth, and let us move. You've been in this place so long. Now that is going to be true for so many of you. Let me tell you, you cannot change your mind without changing your surroundings. Your surroundings are so important for changing your mind. That's why it's the first thing the Lord will tell you, now leave this place. Okay? You've scattered this mountain long enough. Now turn northwards. You've been around this car house too long. Now there are some people here who are, you know, like, even the thought of leaving, you start thinking, now, here my landlord, Auntie Gera. If I go 3 months without paying, he knows it. Now, and God is saying, move. And of course, you're moving into some risk. But it is for your benefit. If you do not, you're going to stay there. Now, that car place where I told you where the devil used to visit me, after some time, the Lord told me, move. Leave that place. So I left. And it was a very... It wasn't the easiest thing, but you know, I had to. So I just moved. Then after that, you move, then move, then move, then move. Then move. And when you're moving, you're growing. Praise the Lord. Now, some people, and sometimes even might be a job. There are people who have stayed at a job too long. And God tried to show you the time is up, you refused. He tried to even made your boss quarrel with you for nothing, you refused. You're like you've refused. And now he'll create every scenario to show you that your time is up. You no longer like the job. You no longer like the people there. Remember what I told you one time, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He makes all things beautiful in their time. Amen? So when you were first there, the job was beautiful. You wake up in the morning, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Now when you were enjoying it, you were enjoying the neighborhood, you were enjoying, then suddenly you become bored by everything. Suddenly it's not, God is telling you it is time up, move. It's no longer beautiful. Now he says, all things are beautiful. There is some beautiful waiting for you somewhere. This one was beautiful when it was your time to be there. But as long as your time ended, people start quarreling with you. You're what? For some reason, you used to wake up excited to go to work. Now you no longer feel that way. You're just working for the money. And I've had all those. There's a time I was working someplace, and it was a very easy job because I would go there, speak about sports, and they would pay me some good money. All they wanted, I think, was my face, my handsome face, because anybody could have done what I was doing. But some TV station. So I would go there on Sunday and just speak about sport for 1 hour. And then I would get some good money. But then I felt strongly, your time in that thing is over. Then I told my friend, my friends whom I would be with, I want to leave this thing. I'm bored of it. Then they said, now if you leave, they will cancel the whole thing. And yet for us, we still want it. For you, I think you got money. Now you no longer want it. And now it wasn't that I had even gotten money. I could use that money. But I felt the time up, it was time up for it. So I refused to go on because of them. Then eventually one day they just sent us a letter that we are terminating your contract. And I felt bad. Because it's not good for them to terminate a contract on you. Like, you are supposed to go before that. You see, eh? So now in history it is that they fired you. How can they fire me? I didn't even want your kajo. But you see, but now because God warned you and was long, do you know it was 1 hour on Sunday, but it used to look like it is the whole Sunday. I would be so bored. Then sometimes I don't even want to follow sports, but I have to go and talk about it. Then eventually people started understanding that I'm not that interested because I wasn't that good. You see, it takes effort to be good at anything. So I wasn't giving it a lot of effort. Anyway, so they fired me. Now in my CV, that is what is there. But it was not supposed to be there. I was supposed to leave before they fire me. Praise the Lord. Now if you understand that beautiful in its time, know that when the landlord becomes very unreasonable, God might be telling you, time up, leave this car place. There's something better. Move. And by the way, move by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he's not telling you to move to a place where he knows, where you know you have the money. No. He's telling you to move to a level where you do not have the money. But he's telling you move. Then you step out. Then you go to a place. And now all the opportunities around you align themselves accordingly to that new level. I'm telling you. Now when I left that house of mine there in Zambia, And I went to another house where I was paying in dollars. You know, I went to, the time I went to look for houses in Kororo. Then I met a guard, and there were some houses, you know, there. So I met the guard. I said, "Are these houses for rent?" The security guards. The guy says, "Yes, but you know, they pay in dollars." So I laughed. So then, you know, when I left there, he spoke as if dollars are like what? They pay in faith. Anyway, so when I left that place and I went to another place, suddenly everything changed around me. Even the cassid which people used to give me changed. If I'd stayed there, it would not. I'm trying to tell you something. Do not create miracle. Do not plant your hills. God wants to. Now, first of all, if I'd stayed there, my mind would have stayed there. Now, the things which I tell you, which I believe I'm going to be, I could not have believed from there. How? It has taken me one step after the other to even believe them. Because God goes expanding you, expanding you, expanding you. Then now you start seeing things in a different way. Because you are in a different atmosphere. Now you see things. Jacob left Laban. And suddenly the Lord showed him a dream. And in the dream you're seeing spotted and speckled animals. And the Lord told him, "Those are yours." So when Laban came to him, he knew what to tell him. If he had been under Laban's house, it would not have happened. Let me tell you, some of you, even your dream life ended. You're no longer having dreams because you did not move when God wanted you to move. The day you find another place and move, I'm not telling everybody, you know, you know if I'm talking about you. The day you find another place, you start dreaming wonderful things. But you've stayed in one place, and God is trying to expand you, but you're refusing. You're a victim of comfort. Remember what I told you about, what's it, what did I call it? 2 Corinthians 10, 3. What does the Bible call it? Okay, though walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. Strongholds is the word I was trying to look for. We do not walk according to the flesh. Now listen to this. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Praise the Lord. Now, when you read this, what comes to mind? Warring according to the flesh. Now, most people, when they read it, they think we are going to break demons. But see, this is not what he's talking about. Of course, yes, we break demons, but it's their handiwork that we are breaking, not the demons. Anyway, so he says, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, when you go to a typical believer there in our churches and you tell them the weapons of our warfare are pulling down strongholds, they are thinking about the devil. They are thinking about strongholds of... I remember those days when we would say, "We are breaking a mizimu jobwens." Then you even go and in a certain place where prostitutes be, and you break the spirit of prostitution with a lot of energy, and then you go back the next day and the prostitutes are there even more than you left them what yesterday, because this is it's the breaking he's talking about is not like that. So he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now go ahead, verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments." Now, if you tell somebody that strongholds exist in arguments, they will think strongholds is some kind of demonic presence. No, the demonic presence, let me tell you, if you knew that all the activity of the devil in the second heaven is just to have arguments in people's head. Now, like that brother of mine whom I told you, like he had strongholds of unbelief. And now that is stronghold, like even breaking it. And now the devil just knows he can put an argument in your head and you're finished. He tells you Christianity was Bazungu's religion. And then you buy that argument. Then you say our religion is witchcraft. Stupid. Do you think you do more witchcraft than Bazungu? You go to them and see. Those people do 10 times the witchcraft that we do. Only ours is stupid witchcraft of poverty. Kuloga Mujawange and all those things. You see, now for them, they do real occult things. Occult, top occult things. There was a time I was in Some city there in the UK. Are they going to do these sports things of mine? And I was seeing churches which used to be Anglican churches. And they had been turned into shrines of demonic, dark things. And you see the people who are walking inside there. That was in Manchester. And you see the people who are walking inside there and coming out. And you know these are deep. And you think you do more witchcraft than them? Are you kidding me? They beat you at everything. Even that. Only for you, yours is simple, simple things. That's what they are fair. You know those things. For them, they are not interested in that. For them, they are interested in dominion. They are interested in expanding. They go to the devil for those things, which we are going to get from us here. They are not petty. But you see, for us, we are petty. Even when we go to God, we are petty. Have you ever heard the prayers which people pray? Even in our churches. Like, God, let me read. How can you be that petty? That man who left me, Asirane, petty. Now, the bazungu, for them, they will not pray those stupid things. They are looking for dominion. Even when they go to the devil, they want dominion. So, you think you do more witchcraft than them. You're kidding yourself. They are deep in the occult. There's that guy whom somebody said, many of you listened to that guy's message, who came from here. Apparently, deep, he was even feeding on the whatever snakes when he was born. Then he thought he was all that until he went to Rome. Then they showed him that what you've been on is fake. The real occult is here. But see if the devil can give you an argument and then you repeat it. And by the way, it's not even you repeating it. It's like a demon who is behind there. Hey, we had our own religions before the Bazungu came. We had our own what? We had our own what? Didn't we have our own religions before the Bazungu came? Foolish. We had our own language. We had our own language. But you're speaking English. We had our own medicine. But do you drink mururuza when you get malaria? We had our own games. When was the last time I watched you watching Mweso? Who brought football? All the games that you play, football, tennis, rugby, all of them by Bazungu. But you see, if the devil can convince you that it's only when it comes to Christianity that you have a cultural, attachment. We had our own whatever. Even the suits you wear are theirs. Did you used to wear suits? Now look at this one. Eh? Did we? Okay, you understand? Of course, I'm not picking on you. But everything, we copied from them, everything. Our dress, our education, university education, was that part of it? But you see, if the devil can put for you an argument, so it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, that's where the strong word is, in form of arguments. You find somebody who, you try to preach to them, they have arguments and they are cast. Like now, those are strongholds. And I've taught you, of course, about strongholds. They don't even have to be against the gospel. They can be against prosperity. You have a stronghold of poverty. So many people have it. You have a stronghold of comfort, of fearing, of taking risks. You will never take a risk. You will never step out of your place because you're comfortable there. My landlord knows whatever. And all of us have been in this place. And if you do not step out one day and say, you know what? At some stage, I'm going to have to just believe God that something is going to happen by Him. Let me step out in faith. By the way, even if you make a mistake and he's not the one who led you, I want you to understand one thing. Understand this from this day onwards. All things work together for good. For those who love God and accord according to His purpose. Even the mistakes, they work together for good. God knows how many mistakes I make, and eventually they were like as if I was sharp. And it was a stupid thing I did. But God turns it. And then people say, hey, how did you know that? I didn't. And it was even fake. But all things work together for what? If you really believe, let me tell you, I believe that because if I was walking on eggshells, what if I make a mistake? What if I make a mistake? Of course I'll make a mistake. But God says all things work together for good. Amen? So this person comes here, the other one comes there. What? You take a wrong turn, God brings something there. For you to learn. And then it was the wrong decision. But God is not held back by wrong decisions. Otherwise, you just have to deal with angels, because we always make wrong decisions. So we will make the wrong decisions, but God will always turn it around, as long as you love God and accord according to his what? To his purpose. That's what the scripture says. Now I believe that with all my heart. All things work together for my good. You praise the Lord. Now when you know that and you say that, Lord, but see, anyway, I'm leaving this car place. And then it's not the right decision to make. Maybe God says, I did not tell you to leave. But he will never let you go down because of it. No, he cannot. He will make sure, even if you made a mistake, somehow you end up on top. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? I want you to know that as long as you are trying to pursue him, as long as you are attempting to follow him, even when you get it wrong, just like it would be with your child, he does something which is wrong, and you know, like some guy who said his son put his phone in the fridge for safekeeping. Now, of course, like, you know, he made a mistake. Now, if you're a good parent, you say, oh, that is good. Thank you, you kept my phone properly. But you're thinking, where am I going to get 5 million to buy another what? Another iPhone. But now you can't shout at the boy. So you just have to, you know, work things out at the kid. So now all things work together for good. All things work together for good. And we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know. Praise the Lord. Now, don't fear everything that we've heard. Words without actions. You hear words, you don't take commensurate actions. It's a waste of time. It's pointless coming here on Friday and listening to words and you're not going to take action. And I'm not saying everybody, just leave where you are. My point is, be sensitive to the seasons. If you notice that, but I'm over stagnating in this place. I have become far too comfortable. I mean, sometimes you use common sense. There are things which you're not supposed to be comfortable. Nobody is comfortable and growing at the same time. Isn't that so? For instance, if you want to grow muscles like Robert, and you go and you're very comfortable lifting 20 kilograms, you don't say that, you don't stay lifting 20 kilograms when you're comfortable. The point is not being comfortable. The point is growing. If you're comfortable with 20, go for 40. If you're comfortable with 20 push-ups, go for what? Common sense. It doesn't even take whatever. Now, even here in the way of God, if you feel you're overcomfortable, what, you have my job, then, you know, I don't need faith. Eh? I know what you're stagnating. That's already a sign of stagnation. You're not thinking dominion. And now you have to challenge yourself to think dominion. You'll even start getting dreams. By the way, some of you, did you get dreams about gatekeepers who are trying to keep you in places? How many of you got dreams? Put up your hand. Okay. I hope you broke them. So now even start getting dreams. Okay, you're in one place. You're there. And the way God uses to show you that a season is over. Like, I want you to understand God works in season. First of all, people will start getting angry at you. The first sign is you start feeling uncomfortable. He says he makes all things beautiful in their time. So the beauty goes out of it. Even a car, you can view, you are enjoying your car, then one day you wake up and you are not happy with it. It's no longer beautiful. It's time to buy another one. Because he makes all things what? Beautiful in their time. So you also know that maybe God is telling him my time up for this car. So you start thinking about getting another one. Because for no reason, yesterday you were happy with it, you would even wash it very well and even shine it with shoe polish and even what. Then now you wake up in the morning and you look at the chika and it says, from becoming a car, it has become a what? A chika. Then you know it's no longer beautiful. Its time is up. And so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to create, to be nimble-footed. Is that even the right word? Nimble-footed. Okay, I was wrong. Neto sidikako. Somehow it felt wrong, eh? But I was convincing myself. Then what? Then Dorothy decided. Anyway, so I want you to have nimble feet. Be sensitive to seasons. Now, as I speak, there are so many of you who already are past the season, and you're hanging onto it. Why? Because it offers you comfort, and you're scared of what is next. But let me tell you, you will go to what is next, whether you want it or not. The only thing you're going to lose is time. That's how God expands your mind. That's how he picks you from somebody who was so, it's like the world had squeezed you. Even like a job of 2 million, you felt you are the best. And I have seen those people even in churches. You go to church, you have like a job of 2 million, you have a primo, which is you go to a loan, salary loan. And in the church, you are the richest. You're that. All the sisters are interested in what? You give them lifts. But now, let me tell you, you stay in that church, you will never, ever challenge yourself. Never. Because you are the star. You have to go to a place where you're not the star. Where you are at the bottom. Then naturally you have to climb up. So now you stay in places like that, you will stay there and you will not develop. But the development is a very complicated process. You have to be around people who are better than you all the time. I remember a time when I would go and dress smartly and what, then I go and meet people when in football. And I remember one day I was with some serious bagaga. One of them was the late BMK, and were there jazzing and what, somewhere in Mkororo. And I've always been a sharp guy, so somehow when I start talking, people want to listen to me. So they were saying this, you know, and I have from everywhere, all over the world, I can tell you stories from anywhere. And so those stories and what, you know. So I said, then I say, what? And all of them are they excited and what? Food flows, what? Bakuwechi. So now when we finished, I told the man, guys, I have to go. They were still enjoying the what? The kabozi. That's where are you going? I said, man, I have to go to work. I have to go and earn a living. So I told him, I have to go. He said, anyway, what parking is there? I didn't even have like parking. So somehow I dodged the questions. So I said, you be okay? I'm going. I'm sure I took off. But there's no you could think I hadn't parked somewhere. And I was there with serious now. Now, okay, not that those are the best examples, but somehow it challenges you. Eh? Then another time we met at Sheraton. Now, you know, and I want you to know that time Sheraton was like, Sheraton. Now it looks like a slum. Now, so we sat there talking, guys, you know, talking what? Then people had, then you wait for them to talk. Then you throw in your words of wisdom. They say, which is thankfully Sheraton. When somebody leaves, you don't see them entering the car because the parking is those ends. So I'd go, boda. Yeah. But you see now, let me tell you, just that there's a way it challenges you, and you say, but really, am I really going to be on this all my life? Now you go to those churches where you're the superstar. Everybody who is wedding brings you their budget. Everybody who is what? Man, you are not going to develop. I'm telling you, you are not. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the process of what? Of building your soul. Not being like the elephant, which has the power to break that tree and move. But because it once did not have that power, it still thinks it doesn't have the power. And it stays there. And the sanctuary man said that he doesn't know that it can actually just break the tree and even tear the rope. He doesn't know that. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to embark on actually being sensitive to the seasons of God in our lives. Now, this is true for at any level. Because your mind can play games with you. You can think that a salary of 10 million is big. And your mind plays games with you, yet God actually wants dominion for you. Now, if you don't know that when I get this casserole, let me enjoy it for some time. But as I'm looking to God, Is this season over? Should I look for bigger things? Because also, you know, sir, there are sometimes people get greedy. And you've not even enjoyed what you have. You want a bigger thing. But you have to be sensitive. Because when God improves you, let me tell you, there is a way you can. There's somebody who came to me, I will end with this. And he had entered a new season where he got money which he had never gotten before. Now, when you get money like that, there is a way you can seal that level. And there is a way you can go back to where you were. And that level becomes a story. Now, there's that thing which the Bible says that in Proverbs 3, 5 to 8, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will, you know, and lean not on your own, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Go ahead. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Now that's a very, very, very powerful thing. The first fruit of your increase. If you've been earning a salary of 1 million and now they increase it to 5 million, your increase is what? 4 million. The first month, you honor the Lord with that 4 million. And you will have sealed that level of 5 million. You will not ever go back to 1 million. Never. Now, there are ways you can move one step after the other after the other. And there are ways you can stagnate. And you become yo-yo. 1 minute, you have a deal of 100 million. Then the next day, you're broke. Or you can have a deal of 100 million, and that is it. You'll never go back to be less. You never go back to less than, you know. That will remain your level. Now, that thing of first fruit of all your increase. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. Verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So it becomes permanent. Something which was temporary becomes what? Permanent. Advice. You may or may not do it. It's up to you. But I'm telling you what I know for a fact. When there is an increase, that first increase, honor the Lord with it. That first one. Then the rest you enjoy. Amen? In other words, if you were 1 million, you get 5 million. The first month, pretend as if you're still getting 1 million. Give the 5 million. I mean the 4 million. Then the next month, enjoy your new level of 5 million. You are not going anywhere. You will stay there. You will only go higher, never lower. Because you honor. It says, so your barns will always overflow. Always with new wine. You see, eh? Now, that is, and I've told people that thing, and they did not listen to me. I remember that some guy, even he was a minister. One day he came, and he told me, do you know what happened? You know this? He had gotten some. So I told him, determine what is the increase, and honor the Lord with it. They said, I'm just going to give a tithe. The next minute he was, bam, right back down. You have to seal the level. Praise the Lord. You have to do what? Seal yourself in that level and say, now I'm never going to leave this level. This is my new level. Amen? And it's just that simple. And even quote that scripture and say, now I am never going to move out of here. I was hammering deals of 20 million. Now I did one of 50 million. This is now my new level. And I see it. And you'll stay there. Then you grow from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. You don't go from glory to down, to glory, to down. That's how so many people are in the church. And there are simple formulas for these things, by the way, in the scripture. Where God says, you just do this, and that becomes your level. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The way you people are looking at me now, eh? I'm even regretting where I told you to give your first fruit. Especially Anne. I'm regretting where. You know when you don't tell people these things? Eh? Like, but then may I tell you what I do? Amen? If I didn't do it. If I didn't do it. It is very easy to go back to Zambia. I'm telling you. Very easy. And then I come from the Gorofa. And I've even dreamt those things. I've told you. There was a time I dreamt when not even in Zambia. I even went to one which was before Zambia. And then I knew there was a spirit of retrogression. Of course, like I, you know, immediately. So, if you don't do these things, you can listen and listen and listen, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith has got to have a step, taking a step forward. You cannot have faith and, you know, you're standing there waiting for God. Ah, God, if I get this, I'm going to do this. If I get... Okay, the other day I told you people to enter into covenant of wealth. How many of you entered the covenant of wealth? Stand up if you did. Ah, you see? So it's pointless even coming here to teach you people things. I told you very well, go and do a covenant of God for wealth. If you bless me and I become rich, this is what I'm going to do. How many did? Okay, at least now I'll come back next Friday. How I was going to rebel and say I'm wasting my what? My time. Just covenant. Listen, we broke, sit down. We broke all the spiritual things. Now I'm teaching you how to break the mental barriers. Then I'm teaching you how to enter a covenant that God, if you bless me and I am really blessed, I am going to do ABC. And I vow that this is what I am going to do. Now, when you say those things, God, listen, God, I told you last time, God takes them very seriously. Don't say it unless you intend to do it. Because he does not joke with the covenant. Amen? If you read the book of Enoch, there are stars. He made a covenant with the sun and with the stars. You're supposed to come out at this time. You're supposed to shine at the... All of them are on covenant when he made them. And it says that the stars which refused to shine when it was their time to shine, he punished them. They burnt in fire for how many years? Because God does not play with covenants. He does not play. Like when you make stand before him, anywhere, wherever you are, and say, Lord, if you bless me, I'm going to do this. He has heard you. And he will never forget. Now, for you, you might think you're going to forget. But for him, he will never. And he will hold you to that word. Remember that scripture which I read to you that time? Ecclesiastes. Don't be rushed to do what? To make vows. Because you're on earth and God is in heaven. And he does not delight in fools. You show us that scripture. Do not be rash with your mouth. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Go ahead. For a dream comes through. A dream comes through much activity. In other words, a dream comes to pass through much activity. When you have a dream, there is a lot of activity you have to do to make it to pass. You don't just sit and dream, I'm going to be this. No, there's activity. And the fool's voice is known by his many words. Now, verse 4, he says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. He does not take pleasure in fools. Now, that's why you sit down and think, what can I really promise that I am going to do? If you give me this, I'm going to do this. Jacob, for him, he said, if you bless me where I'm going and feed me and what, I'll give you a tenth. That was his vow. And says, the Lord will be my God. Now, what's your vow? Which you are going to fulfill, not which you say excited. Amen? If you have to write it down, you write it down. Because God will hold you to it. Praise the Lord. Amen? And if you actually fulfill it, then there is... I think people underestimate what it says, that to some he gives the work of gathering. Eh? That he may give it to those who please him. Then you go and make a vow and he says, yeah, I think I like your vow. Then the next thing he just gets from somebody else and just gives you. Like a king. Praise the Lord. Like a what? You know, sometimes we be in democracy, we don't know how kingdoms work. A kingdom, the king's word is law. Amen? There is no parliament, there is no nothing, there is no judiciary, no. The king's word is what? Law. He gives what he wants. I was reading today in the scriptures when he's telling the children of Israel. Now you're going to pass that same scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 3. He says you're going to pass through this place and the children of Moab. He says, do not touch their land. Do not, because I'm not going to give you even a square inch of the, that's not what he says, but some, it says even a foot of their land because I swore to give it to Esau, descendants of Esau. I will not give you. So he says, when you're passing through their land, If you get food, pay for it. If you want water, pay for it. Because that is their land, I gave it to them. Now I'm taking you to the land which you I gave you. Now, he says, don't contend with them in battle, it's their land. Now, he distributes as he wants. This one I've given to the descendants of Esau, The other ones I've given to the descendants of Lot. Okay? Now the children of Jacob of Israel, you pass here. Yours is the other side. Praise the Lord. Now there's somebody who is holding what is yours. But God is waiting for you to what? Like, not waiting. That now we are there. We are coming there. We are getting close. You understand? Eh? This year is a year of what? So if somebody says, how are you? Say, I'm what? Say, I'm what? There's a time somebody asked you how are you? And I said, I'm popular. You almost punched me. And I was just being stubborn. They said, how are you? I said, I'm popular. They said, who do you think you are? I had to run away before I paid the price. Praise the Lord. So now, those who haven't entered into a covenant, take your time and do it. Praise the Lord. How are you? How are you? Eh? You're not saying it with conviction. You have to say it with, like, you believe it. Eh? Because that's what the word of God says about you. I am what? You are what? Let me tell you. Every time you pray, if you pray for 10 minutes, at least give half of that time to professing a scripture about being rich. Amen? Amen? For instance, if I got a scripture, whichever scripture that talks about, but there are many. I can go to Galatians 3:13, that the blessing of Abraham might be mine. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Okay? Having become a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, upon me in Christ. Now, when I'm praying in tongues, if I pray for 1 hour, I'm telling you, 30 minutes, I'll be, I thank you, Lord, because you've redeemed me from the curse of poverty. Because you became poverty for me, that the blessing of Abraham is mine in Christ Jesus. Then I continue praying in tongues. Then I continue saying it. Then I say, because I am rich, because the scripture says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. Therefore, I am rich because I am blessed. Because according to Ephesians 1:3, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Therefore, I am rich. Therefore, rakabazanta rabashila bakrabaze, I am rich. Rika barazala bakashilo mor, I am rich. Sekelebora zinta labashila, I am what? Rika barabaraze, I am what? Shikre bakazinta laba, I am what? You do that for 30 minutes every day. Praise the Lord. Just do that for 30 minutes every day. Okay, not 30, half of the time you pray. Because other times you're praying for other things. Just do it for half of the time you pray. Every day. This year. Amen? There has to be a difference this year. There has to be a difference this year. And there has to be what? This year. No playing games. There has to be a difference. Praise the Lord. Amen? Are you charged? Are you rich?
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.